Hey everybody, it's 1st of July today. I want to take a moment out to talk about Hong Kong. The title of this video is Hypocrisy in Hong Kong. And it's mainly, I mean, hopefully I can raise some awareness, but I don't know how much of a difference that's really going to make with the disaster that's going on there. But really what I wanted to point to is just how fraudulent and how weak and how petty all of these are, or how sycophantic, you know, the movements by the SJWs have been, you know, for things like BLM or whatever other stupidity they're getting behind. You know, whilst we are watching an entire island, and I don't know what the population is of Hong Kong, but literally be subjugated by a communist terrorist organization called the CCP that has just passed a new set of laws where they can imprison people basically for disagreeing with what the government wants to do. I'm gonna read through a few things here and just kind of hopefully I don't know, bring some attention to this. Like, you know, it's called the National Security Law, you know, imposed by, you know, Beijing, by the CCP, you know, where, you know, there's a minimum sentence for any conviction of this fucking vague, broad law of 3 years imprisonment. Like, this is a sad, sad fucking day. Like, you know, this is the first day of the second half of the year. And, I mean, I'm going to read through a couple of things here. So what appears initially as an early test of the law was a man being arrested on Wednesday after he pulled out a Hong Kong flag during demonstrations. And the police said on Twitter that he had been detained for violating the national security law. It was the first arrest that's been made since the law has come into effect. I mean, to pull out a flag and be arrested for it. When people wonder why I get up and speak about the state and that the state is where the problem is, not racism, not any of that shit. This is a pure example of that. You have the people who are writing the fucking laws without any regard to what the people who are supposed to be being governed by the laws have to say. Like, that there is, you know, people talk about, oh yeah, you can vote people into power and, you know, you can have your, no, you fucking can't, not with a state. When you have outsourced your agency and when you've outsourced your responsibility and your power and your right to choose to some bureaucratic fucks who can then create and design whatever laws that they want to, and then they define them, you have no agency, you have no power, you have no freedom. Now, China's obviously a much worse case, and this kind of hypocrisy is one of the things that pisses me off, you know, when people talk about, oh yeah, America's being a racist nation. Go fuck yourself. Have you seen what, you know, the racism that's involved in China? Like, you can't, Disney, you know, one of the largest companies in the world, when they want to advertise their Marvel films there, they have to take the black characters off the posters, you fucking morons. And you think you're, you know, the America and the United States and, you know, the rednecks in the South are fucking racist? That's where the racism is. I don't see anybody, any of you standing up and saying fucking fuck China or fuck the CCP. You guys are all, you know, trying to beat down and bash, you know, the institutions that have been built, you know, by Western Europeans and the so-called white man who've allowed you to even open your mouth in the first place. If you're in China, you moron, you wouldn't even be able to have the ability to say that. You know, the right to actually free speech that exists in America gives you an opportunity to actually even discuss things like, you know, ex-life matters. But I don't hear you opening your fucking mouth even a tiny bit about the injustices that are happening here. I'll read a couple more about them. So You know, the security law, which includes 66 articles and more than 7,000 words, takes direct aim at the spirited anti-government protests that have convulsed Hong Kong over the past year. Under the new law, damaging a government building would be considered an act of subversion and punishable by life imprisonment in grave cases. What the fuck does grave mean in the first place? And who the fuck deified a government building as if it's something, you know, more important than an individual? Like, this is the problem with outsourcing your agency to an imaginary collectivist ideal or concept like a government. Particularly, this is the danger of something like a communist government. Like, these collectivist deranged morons will decide what is moral, what is right, and they will impose it upon you. And you have no choice to be able to make up your mind outside of that. Sabotaging transport would be deemed a terrorist activity, punishable by life in prison if it harms other people or causes significant damage to public or private property. And again, what are the definitions of significant? But even take that out of the equation. Like, who has the right to jail you, particularly in a fucking communist prison, like, for your entire life? And again, remember why the Hong Kong people were doing this. You know, so when they were protesting, they went out and they disrupted the efficiency or the infrastructure in Hong Kong to break down, you know, the well-known, you know, clean, smooth operation that Hong Kong has, as a demonstration that, hey, we are not going to be subjugated by these deranged communist dictators to tell us what to do. So now, you know, their mechanism for protest, for effective protest, is being completely removed and punishable by death. I don't hear fucking anyone talking about this. This is the same as saying, I mean, if... I don't even know. The four major offenses in the law: separatism, subversion, terrorism, and collusion. Collusion with foreign countries are ambiguously worded and give the authorities extensive power to target activists who criticize the party. I mean, separatism by definition, like, if you can't have separatism, you have conformity, you have everybody agreeing. Like, you know, we fought World War II to fight Hitler and his, you know, anti-separatism. You know, subversion, the only way to change a system, to make it better, to you know, to compete, which is what all natural systems do, is to subvert, to emerge from the ground with a different opinion. They're eliminating that. Terrorism, which is whatever the fuck they want to define it as. And collusion with a foreign country. So if you want to go get some help, you know, apparently now that's illegal and punishable by a minimum of 3 years in prison, or likely, you know, in the case of CCP, death. The law is to punish a tiny number of criminals who seriously endanger national security. A sharp sword hanging high over their heads that will serve as a deterrent against external forces meddling in Hong Kong. Like, this is a dictatorship taking over a peaceful group of people on a peaceful island that have been prosperous for the last 60 years. I mean, there is nothing more criminal happening in the world today. And there is none of you fucking social justice warrior, you know, sycophantic, suck up pieces of shit getting up and saying anything about this. It makes me sick to my stomach. Like, this kind of hypocrisy is why I get angry. This kind of two-faced bullshit where you go out there and you pretend like you give a shit because it's trendy on Instagram to slap a fucking black square on there. But then you go home and continue buying Chinese shit, and turning a blind eye to all the fucking garbage that's happening. And don't for a second sit here and, you know, I had a discussion with this idiot the other day, who tried to give me the whole analogy about, oh yeah, you know, if there's all these houses on the street and one of them is burning, you know, and the other one is not, and the fire engine comes and, you know, doesn't put the one out that's burning, you know, that, what the fuck are you talking about? Do you want to know which houses are burning? This is the house that's burning, you monkey. You know, the other house that's burning is over in Burma, where the, you know, the so-called Buddhists, you know, again, the state apparatus who just label themselves as Buddhists to try and make themselves sound nicer, literally go and rape, kill, and pillage the Muslims who have a different religious belief. Just because of that, they're not even considered human in that nation. Like, who's putting out those fires? I don't see you getting up and fucking protesting that. I don't see you protesting, you know, the Falun Gong getting slaughtered and, you know, killed and have their organs extracted while they're still fucking alive because they don't recognize the CCP as, you know, the leaders of China. Like, don't get up and get on some moral high ground for, you know, particularly what is a movement of derangement. Like, America, as an example, is one of the most tolerant nations in the world. Despite what you might think about Trump, despite what you might think about white people and the ability to defend yourself and all of that sort of stuff, America was the first place to, one of the first places, I can't remember if it's the first, to abolish slavery altogether. Slavery still happens around the world, in Africa, in the Middle East, in Asia, in South America. You know, like, you are throwing stones at the countries and the nations. And don't get me wrong here for a second, is, you know, I'm not here supporting America as a nation state, but the values, the principles upon which it was built, the ability, the, you know, the freedom of speech, the right to protect yourself, the right to come together and protest, like, these principles that the founding fathers of America put together, the essence of those still exists. And because they've permeated throughout those societies, you know, the Western patriarchy that you all want to bring down all of a sudden, allows your dumb ass to actually get up and say something, allows people like me to get on a camera and actually voice an opinion. Whereas the traditions that you're somehow trying to point to as something special, like, you know, the shit that you see in China, or the fucking shit with the warlords and the genital mutilation and the slavery and all the shit that you see in Africa, like, if you want to go back to that, go fuck off back to that. Like, the amount of people that I've seen, like, there was this Arabic moron who, you know, that couple, who were Democrats, by the way, who came out and pulled their guns out when there was that Black Lives Matter protest coming near their house in the mansion. I can't remember their names now. But, you know, people sort of like, oh, you know, look how, you know, ugly their house is because it's, you know, this really schmick mansion that they've gone and restored. And, you know, this one idiot trying to make out, in fact, I want to find that tweet now just to explain what he said. But, I mean, this goes to show the kind of derangement syndrome from some of these ungrateful pieces of shit who, in their society, in their world, would never have even been able to open their mouth. They wouldn't even have the right to say anything. And now, because they have the right to say something, you know, they want to pretend like they can get on their high horse and talk about something. Some guy calls himself Kayvon. And his Twitter handle, SHAFIEIKEYVAN. Go and bash him, he's got 12,000 followers. The inside of that armed couple's mansion is just villainously hideous. You fucking worthless scumbag. Like, his philosophy PhD candidate at Georgetown, dissertation on ideology and mass incarceration, Muslim-Iranian singing socialism. Or bust. Like, how about you go back to a fucking socialist nation, you moron? How about you go back to fucking Iran and go live in one of those, you know, carbon copy buildings over there and get the fuck out of the United States where you're allowed to even speak, you clown. Like, you know, I'm not even US. I don't even give a shit. Like, that's not my, you know, I'm not here to wave the flag for some federal nation, because the US definitely has its own problems, you know. But again, it's the essence of the freedom of speech, the essence of capitalism, the essence of being able to protect yourself, to gather together, to build something of value, to have private property rights, all of those things, which are the antithesis to the moronic shit that you stand for, is the reason you even get to open your mouth. I don't hear you saying anything about the atrocities that are happening in places like Hong Kong right now, where the socialist manifestations, you know, the communism, you know, that is the end goal of the ideologies that your fucking incomprehensibly incompetent mind believes in, is the subjugation of innocent people and their rights and their lives and their freedom been taken from them. Like, people like this make me absolutely sick. And I hope that, you know, anyone listening to this, you know, I mean, this is why something like Bitcoin is so important. Like, it is literally, like, you know, 250 years ago when, you know, people crossed over to America, well, I mean, they crossed over to America 400 or 500 years ago, but like that quarter of a millennia ago with the independence of America and this idea that, you know, you can find a new land and you can build off a new set of values. Yeah, there was racism and all that sort of stuff, but what you've also got to remember is don't view it with the lens you have today. As a society, we've become far more tolerant because, and I'll talk about this in a future video, you know, the model of, I guess, mimetic social and psychological evolution through a framework that Dr. Claire Graves developed alongside Don Beck and a couple of others called Spiral Dynamics. And it sort of talks about how we move through, you know, beige survival, through to tribal, through to, you know, power god, through to rules and structures, through to, you know, the orange color, which is more about, you know, science and achievement and breakthroughs and entrepreneurialism, to green, which is, you know, about connectedness and love and all this sort of stuff. Then moving into the higher order functions of, you know, yellow and turquoise, where yellow is the ability to move up and down those levels and really integrate all of them. And turquoise is like a oneness with everything. So I'll talk about that in a future thing. But, you know, back then people left, you know, the subjugation of the monarch in England to go to a new land to set up a society, you know, with new fresh thinking, with a set of rules that, you know, involved such a deep amount of thought and such a incredible amount of foresight, with the central core of it being the idea of liberty. So this, you know, being the idea of freedom and property rights, like those two critical components that allow individuals to then organize, self-organize, particularly in a society, around, you know, and sort of have ethics and values and everything emerge around these two core principles. And when you don't have these two core principles in mind, you end up going off on all these fucking stupid tangents. Or when you lose touch with those core principles, when you stop thinking from first principles, you end up going off on all sorts of deranged tangents, which is where we are, you know, quarter of a millennia after, you know, these foundational principles were established in a nation like America. So I'm getting to the point now, which is, you know, that was able to be done back then. And, you know, the creation of a new nation, like I said, alongside things like racism, etc., which were in the framework or in the context of that particular point in time, were quite normal. If you, Mr. I'm fucking anti-racist today, you know, I don't give a shit where you're born. If you went back there, no matter how much of an SJW you think you are today, you too would have been fucking racist. So you can't throw stones inside a context that you know nothing about. You know, back then, you know, the concept of racism didn't even fucking exist. It was just normal what they did. So taking that aside, you know, people went there and they created this new society with liberty and freedom and private property rights. And private property rights doesn't just mean your stuff. Your first and most important piece of property is yourself and the ability to own yourself. That is, you know, that is paramount to this whole ideology. You know, that some collective doesn't own you, that you own yourself. And that's such an important starting point to come from. And in the spirit of upholding that principle, you cannot take that right away from somebody else to own themselves. And when you have that strong ideological foundation, you can actually build a strong society that is relatively distributed, because that can't bloat, that has to stay relatively localized by definition. So you have the ability to build this new foundation. Now, we can't do that. We don't have a new land to go to. Like, you know, we can't go and all buy an island and all fucking rock up on an island. You know, like most of the world physically has been, you know, colonized at this point in time. Like, I mean, unless we're all gonna fucking go to Antarctica. But I don't think that's gonna happen. So what do we have? We have this thing called Bitcoin, which is a new land, you could call it. It's a new, you know, it's fundamentally the, it's transcended the physical plane, and it's given us a virtual plane with some verifiable rules that are completely voluntary to opt into or opt out of. Bitcoin doesn't care if you're a part of it or not. You can do whatever the fuck you want. It's up to you. And then when you're inside, or when you're on that virtual realm, when you're in this new promised land, you know, the new America, the new place of liberty, the new place of freedom, you know, you want to operate on it. Well, you know, here's the rules. They're not hidden from anybody. There's no backdoor room deals that can be made, you know, to give one group an advantage over another. It's got some set rules. It's got this level playing field where anybody can participate and anybody can opt out and not participate if they don't want to, but it allows some core things to exist. Private property rights being the first thing. Being completely voluntary is the second really important piece. Being censorship resistant, so you want to perform a function on there, you don't have to go and ask permission. You can go ahead and perform the function as long as it doesn't go against or it doesn't subvert the rules, because those rules are, you know, in existence. So you can go and try and perform a function, but guess what? The code will not run it. Or you can try and change something and you'll be forking it off and running your own thing, and go for it. The network doesn't care. But that's such a beautiful notion, is that it reminds me of Ayn Rand's book, Atlas Shrugged, which is, you know, where the men of the mind, you know, and the women of the mind, you know, all of them were able to escape to Galt's Gulch, to a valley where they were able to rebuild, whilst the deranged collectivist maniacs who thought that they could centrally manage, you know, through bureaucratic decree how, you know, everybody should live, basically brought the entire society toppling over their own heads, and turned into a bunch of, it turned into a true tragedy of the commons, because every time you'd lead with the collectivist mindset, you have a tragedy of the commons. Simple as that. When you lead with the individual and the freedom of the individual and the sanctity of private property rights, you know, and that's where you have the bounds of the freedom of the individual. You have a system where the collective becomes strong by default. It's a side effect of strong individuals. Whereas if you try and create this, you know, ideal, you know, utopian collectivist, you know, vision, you create weak individuals, which are the substantive component of the collective, and it disintegrates. it falls under its own weight because there's no substance, there's nothing in there. So I've gone off into a bunch of tangents here, but to finish this Ayn Rand point off is, you know, America was that promised land. You know, Galt's Gulch, you know, was Ayn Rand's fictional representation of that promised land, you know, the place where people can go, you know, to rebuild and get away from the fucking psychopaths. Now, again, there's a belief I have, which is, you know, it's not necessarily that people, you know, individuals are evil, you know, whilst there might be some of those, I think it's their behaviors and you know, the dogma and the conditioning, you know, that they've been brought up in, that, you know, helps them become deranged. Then, you know, this mixture of behaviors then turns into, you know, some really dangerous results in some dangerous outcomes. But without getting into the philosophy of that, you know, getting away from that and allowing those people to learn the painful lessons on their own, I think is really powerful. And because we can't get away from that in the physical world anymore as much, you know, maybe, you know, the pendulum will swing back as all of these collectivist nations, these socialist nations, and, you know, these ridiculous authoritarian left and right leaders kind of lose the faith, you know, of the people, and the whole thing starts falling on top of them. Whilst, you know, these initially virtual citadels where wealth is able to be preserved and protected from, you know, the looters, the moochers, and the collectivists. Whilst that forms the basis of, you know, a new virtual layer of prosperity, you know, that may then translate into being able to, I don't know, potentially buy up or, you know, find physical places again. You know, this is the proverbial Bitcoin citadels where we can then, you know, create the new iteration of Hong Kong, you know, built on something that is truly incorruptible. You know, you cannot build a society without some base economic rules. And economic rules are merely the rules via which people's time and energy is allocated, and that's really what it is, right? It's you know, the time and energy are what we as human beings input into the natural environment. That's our work, that's our labor, that's our effort, and that is, you know, is measured and then traded amongst people. It's the universal language. Without that piece, you don't have society, you don't have cooperation, you don't have the ability for people to collaborate. That doesn't exist. So without that layer, without economics, and this is why economics is such an important, but real economics, like natural economics, you know, the Austrian school of economics, you know, really defines this best, because it gets to the essence of what this is, which is, it's not some fucking theoretical game, you know, with numbers and models that some central planner or some arrogant bureaucrat thinks that he can impose on people. You know, economics is a study of a complex emergent phenomena that starts, you know, with the individual and the actions they take, and those actions are merely their time and energy being allocated somewhere. And that, you know, when we have a set of rules that is the same across the board for that universal language, that fabric of society, you know, money and an economic network, we're then able to build effective societies off the top of that, you know, particularly when things like private property rights, you know, freedom and voluntarism are sort of baked into the thing. And this is, again, why Bitcoin is so powerful. So I went off on a bunch of tangents here, so I'll tie this off here. People really, really need to wake up and realize where the real problems are, and stand up for things consistently. You either be consistent You know, if you're going to be, you know, a justice warrior, let's take out the social bit. If you're going to be a justice warrior, be consistent for the love of Christ. You know, and do some research, do some thinking, think a little bit deeper. Don't just jump onto the next fucking hashtag that's trending, and, you know, be woke for a week or two, and then go back to, you know, supporting the same communist fucking regimes that are subjugating and killing more people than the people you're throwing stones at. Like, think a little bit. That's what I'm asking here. And really start to think a little bit deeper about where the root of the problem is, which, as I argue, is really collectivism and its manifestations through statism, and particularly the worst forms of statism in communism and socialism. You know, all these fucking stupid isms, you know, that are flowing around. So thank you again for listening. I think something happened with the video there, so we'll probably have to splice it. Subscribe to the channel, share this around. You know I swore a lot during this episode, and I promised to try not to, but I mean, look, I'm passionate about this stuff. I really believe freedom is an important ideal, and it's something that we need to optimize society around to build strong individuals, because you build better people, you build better ethics, better values, and, you know, just stronger, more robust societies than the weak, hollow, shallow collectivist shit that you know, is being forced upon us. So I hope this inspires more people to think deeply. Pass it around to your friends and apologize in advance for the swearing. But hopefully they'll listen through to the end and find that this is more a plea for us to all think deeper and be better human beings. So I'll see you on the next episode, and thanks again.